Forecast for today, cloudy skies, chance for some shower activity, maybe some thunderstorms as we get toward the evening, and temperature is going to be slowly falling. Last weekend's medication collection event in eastern Racine County is being called a success. 599 cars through the lines during the collection at the site on 21st Street. 1,060 pounds of medications dropped off, 369 pounds of pill bottles and cardboard separated from the medications and recycled. 10th and final year, by the way, that the Central Racine County and City of Racine Health Departments are going to sponsor this type of event because permanent collection sites are now pretty much available all across eastern Racine County at most law enforcement agencies. The Racine Common Council voted 11-3 in secret balloting at last night's organizational meeting to keep Alderman Dennis Weiser as president of the 15-member group, until rules make him the interim mayor between John Dickert's pending resignation and the outcome of a special election. Weiser spoke of his tenure with both the council and on the school board, as well as the need for continued leadership experience going forward.
I believe that this year will be critically important to have an experienced, knowledgeable council president. In a few days, we will have a new city administrator. In a few months, we will have a new mayor. This is going to be a period of transition, and an experienced council president will be important as new leaders define themselves, define their approach to doing the work of the city, and define their relation to the city council.
The nomination statement of Alderman Henry Perez, who had an out-of-town commitment, was read by Alderman Molly Jones. Once Alderman Weiser becomes the interim mayor, then the council would have to figure out who's going to be the next president and fill the vacancy in the 10th Aldermanic District, that yet to come this summer. In the city of Burlington, Mayor Jeannie Hefty's State of the City address last night, focusing on priorities, beginning with economic development, to go with long-term financial stability, maintaining the city's infrastructure, having a competitive workforce, plus citizen engagement. Mayor Hefty noting the financial stability going forward includes making up for tax incremental District 3 ending next year.
Draws to a close comprising of approximately 24% of the equalized value of the city. The city's levy authority will be impacted in 2019. The city recently retained Eilers & Associates Incorporated to develop a financial management plan.
She talked about a new capital improvement software program to help prioritize long-term funding strategies on infrastructure management and said that the city's trying to improve two-way communication with the public to create more citizen involvement and volunteerism.
This is shown by the increased desire from residents to participate in the various boards and committees.
Alderman John Schultz, by the way, also chosen council president in Burlington for the next year. Abuses of the visa program that President Trump spoke about during his visit to Kenosha yesterday are happening in southeast Wisconsin. So says a worker who talked to our partners at Gateway Public Radio, said that he and many of his colleagues recently were replaced by foreign workers whom he says are probably working for less money.
The room that I had worked in, with many American workers, and it slowly became outnumbered by H-1B workers being hired on, and the American worker was being laid off. That's how I know. I've witnessed it.
That worker did not want his name used or his former employer identified to not jeopardize his severance package. The order that the president signed in Kenosha yesterday, designed to limit the number of lower-paid, lesser-skilled foreign tech workers that are more prone to replace American workers. The president kept to the script and avoided partisan politics during that visit, in which he had high praise for Snap-on. That was a message that very few in the audience could disagree with. He also offered some praise to Gateway President Brian Albrecht.
It's a statement that shows that what we're doing is the right thing. We got the right skill sets. We're helping young people select their career paths to be successful. Partnership with Snap-on helps to build our industry capacity. So I was very proud to be a part of today's program, and I think the president really highlighted the need for technical skills and technical workers.
And as of late this morning in downtown Racine, local members of the group Common Cause were to deliver a petition to Congressman Paul Ryan's office urging him to support formation of an independent commission to investigate the Russian government's efforts in the 2016 election. This on the heels of media reports that the president's campaign advisor, Carter Page, was under investigation by the FBI last summer. The activists are claiming the partisan atmosphere in Washington is simply too charged right now for a full and fair investigation by Congress. That's why they're calling for an independent commission. All but one incumbent in the odd-numbered districts for the Racine Common Council won re-election earlier this month. Newcomer John Tate II took the oath of office with his new colleagues last night and wants, he says, to represent those who voted both for him and against him.
When we're talking about budgets, when we're talking about services, we need to recognize that this is about people that we're affecting. And the decisions we make affect people, not just taxpayers, not just voters, not just, you know, donors, if we have them, but people. And we need to focus on that. So when we make decisions, let's remind ourselves that it's people that we're speaking about. It's people's lives that we're affecting. And that's why I'm here. And I want to represent people. I want to represent those who are underrepresented. I want to represent those who are misrepresented.
Tate replacing longtime Alderman Mike Shields, who may be honored at a future council meeting, could not attend Monday night's gathering due to a death in the family. Alderman Tate, by the way, has been assigned to the Public Works and Services Committee. Alderman Henry Perez replaces Mike Shields on the Finance and Personnel Committee. The chairs of the three standing committees of the council remain the same. The Kenosha County Board narrowly defeated a resolution that supports the court ruling invalidating the state's legislative maps and ordering new ones to be developed. That resolution, sponsored by Supervisor Leah Bluff, who said it was an issue of fundamental fairness and fiscal responsibility.
It has already cost taxpayers $2 million to defend the current maps. If they are looking to have, their attorney general is looking to have outside counsel hired for this appeal, which will cost taxpayers even millions of more dollars. We really aren't sure how much, but I know it'll be a lot.
Supervisor Dennis Elverman, noting he has equal disdain for both political parties, said he couldn't support that resolution.
I think this is ridiculous on both sides. It's just such a veiled argument on the let's not do anything. What we do here this evening won't mean a thing.
Supervisor Michael Skoletsky, meanwhile, said the issue wouldn't have even come before the court if Democrats hadn't filed suit.
In addition, the suit is working its way through the legal system. It has still not been determined completely what the outcome is going to be. And I think that we owe it to the voters of our state to allow it to work through the system to find out what the final outcome is.
Board defeated the resolution on a vote of 10-9. In Madison, the Assembly Committee on Energy and Utilities heard both support and opposition for a bill to allow public utilities to provide direct financial help to property owners in replacing lead pipes connecting their buildings to public water systems, something currently not allowed. Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barca noted Racine's mayor strongly supports the initiative as a way to overhaul antiquated and dangerous water infrastructure. Kenosha Representative Todd Onstad testified that the bipartisan legislation is sound public policy and a win for Wisconsin's families. Meanwhile, Wisconsin's business lobby is fighting the funding plan, says that cities should be responsible for removing lead water lines, not water utilities. And the African Children's Choir is scheduled to perform in Caledonia at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, May the 21st, at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church on 6 Mile Road, and the public is welcome to attend. A release indicates this program will feature children's songs, traditional spiritual songs, and gospel favorites, a free event, free will offering at the performance to support African Children's Choir programs such as education, care, relief, and development. This group, by the way, has performed in front of presidents, Queen Elizabeth, numerous heads of state, also sung alongside such artists as Sir Paul McCartney, Annie Lennox, Keith Urban, and Mariah Carey. The African Children's Choir, a nonprofit humanitarian relief organization. State Board of Commissioners of Public Lands approving a state trust fund loan totaling $6.75 million to the Racine Unified School District for three projects, $3.5 million for the Real School setup in Sportsplex, $1.15 million for the Alternative Learning Center build-out, and $2.1 million is for the Turning Point Academy project. Meanwhile, $16.35 million worth of loans going to Kenosha Unified and Kenosha County for financing energy efficiency projects. The governor's proposed budget, just one of the topics discussed during the Committee of the Whole meeting of the Racine County Board last night. They met with three area legislators. Those legislators asked their opinions about the governor's proposed budget. Representative Tom Weatherston of Caledonia calling it the best he's seen in his short time in Madison.
A lot of very good things in there, especially more money to schools. Some big improvements in that budget. So in my view of what was the draft budget, I thought it was exceptional, a big improvement over the last couple that I've been through. Sure, there's room for improvements. There's room for changes in there. There was some policy changes that should come out, and I think has come out of it. But overall, I think it was one of the best governor proposals I've seen.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said some positive changes could be made to the plan, but overall it is a good budget.
It's definitely more fun to be able to give money out than to have to tell people you're going to get less. So that is an easier job that we have. Governor Walker prioritized money for schools. I think that's valuable. He prioritized money for the university system. I think that's good. He made sure that we had targeted increases for really important programs.
And State Senator Van Wongard talked about the state's heroin epidemic. He said that must be addressed.
I mean, and it's challenging for us because we have so many focuses that are really have to, things that affect us in our economy. When you can't get kids that are able to be employed, this is one of the most difficult things we have for employers, is to have an applicant come in that can, you know, just have the soft skills, but that can pass a drug test.
The lawmakers also asked about other issues like transportation funding and Medicaid reimbursements. The Village of Sturtevant's new leadership team seated last night, including Jamie Hoffman switching from the job of trustee to village president, paying tribute to departing trustee Chris Wright and to outgoing president Steve Jansen. Jansen again said he needed a break, noting the years that have gone by and what has changed for both himself, his family, and the village.
I have no regrets. I really don't. I think when I look back at all the things that we've accomplished and where we were at one time was, you know, we were at the bottom of the pits of pits, and we really crawled and worked our way out of it. And the position we're at today is quite remarkable, and that's going to be the challenge for the new board going forward, is to keep it there.
The Sturtevant board also unanimously approving the nomination of Jason Ekman to fill Hoffman's unexpired term as trustee. And one of the more humorous moments of last night's Racine Common Council organizational meeting involved City Clerk Janice Johnson-Martin recognizing her husband after 32 years of him never having the chance to attend a council meeting. That got Mayor Dickert's attention.
My better half, my husband, Calvin. Please raise your hand, sweetie. Thank you, and don't kill me when we get home.
Just want to say, Calvin, I'm glad to see you exist. We were wondering for a while. Thought you got those pictures from Penny's.
Alderman Terry McCarthy also wishing the best of luck to now former Alderman Mike Shields, stating our meetings might be a little less interesting with him not here. Our forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.